Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas, and for today's episode, we have something special. We have a special guest in the form of AHJ Productions. That stands for Aiden Hunter Jonah Productions. They have a football YouTube channel, pretty popular. We'll have some shout out information at the end of the show that you guys can go check out. But anyways, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, it's going. It's going good. Thank you for having us on.
For sure.
Pretty good.
For sure. Well, guys, so we thought for this show that we would just have, because there's five of us on here, we're missing our co-host Colton, but
we traded him. We upgraded him. We hit the upgrade button.
We hit the upgrade button. The guy's long gone. But since there's five of us, there's a lot of us, we thought we'd just have a five-person discussion about some of the storylines going around the NFL. And the main one that happened this week was Alex Smith retired from football. So what are your guys' thoughts? Thoughts about that?
I'll let one of y'all go first.
Aiden, you want to take all right, Johnny, you got it.
All right. So, I mean, Alex Smith has an incredible story, as we all know. People thought he wouldn't ever walk again. And then this year he was able to, although he didn't play the full season, take the Washington football team to the playoffs, which nobody saw coming. So I think it's a remarkable story considering what he went through. Not even thinking about what his whole career was before that. That alone makes his career amazing. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, Alex Smith had a very weird start to his career, taken first overall in 2005 over, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And then all that controversy with Colin Kaepernick replacing him. Went to Kansas City. He was a stud there. And then goes to Washington and, you know, has that catastrophic injury. And, you know, he may not have been able to walk again, but he almost died. Like, it was a life-threatening injury, and it's really remarkable that he came back and even played football again. So he had an absolutely legendary career, and I have mad respect for Alex Smith.
Yeah,
I think everything that the biggest takeaway. Okay, I think the biggest, at least, accomplishment for me when I look back at his career resume is how quickly he was able to turn around Kansas City. I don't know if you guys remember how bad Kansas City was before Alex Smith was their quarterback. And I remember it seemed like overnight they were 8-0 and one of the best teams in the league. And that was all Alex Smith, because before that, I mean, the quarterbacks, it's not even names worth mentioning because they were all so terrible. And I think that is going to be one of his greatest accomplishments is he, regardless of what Patrick Mahomes has done, Alex Smith is the one that started the Chiefs dynasty, and I think he doesn't get enough credit for that. In one year, he turned that team from a team that had the first overall pick to a team that was a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So,
Yeah,
definitely. Honestly, very disappointed, and it sounds like you guys are too. I kind of wish that he would have stuck it out just a bit. I wonder what he was going to do with these last few years. I know they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not completely sure if he was still under contract with Washington. But I kind of wanted to see a couple more years of him. But a great player, great story, and pretty weird up and down, cool, but overall good career. And so, yeah. But now let's talk about why you guys are here. We needed you guys here to bring in some draft content. What do you guys think about this draft that's coming up in about a week?
We're hyped for it. I mean, we've talked about it on previous podcasts that we've done. I mean, we are so hyped for this draft, especially considering kind of the quarterbacks, I think, make it such a good draft because although the first two picks are kind of determined like a month before the draft, there are three other top quarterbacks that could go anywhere from pick 3 to pick 15. And then there's a bunch of top players who might go top like 7 or might fall to like top 30, like Micah Parsons. So there's a lot of unknowns going to the draft, and that's not even considering different trades that might happen, like the Dolphins and then the Panthers reportedly want to move down. So I think it's going to be a hectic draft night, and I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I'm super excited for the draft. You know, everybody knows from our pod that I'm a Jets fan, so this is an interesting draft for me. You know, there are a lot of storylines. You know, like Micah Parsons, like what's really the deal with him? You know, Mac Jones. There's this rumor that he goes 3 to the Niners, which I think is ridiculous. But, you know, I think all 5 of the quarterbacks, like all 5 of the top 5 quarterbacks in this class could be potential number ones in other classes. You know, that even goes for a guy like Mac Jones. I think Trey Lance would be the number one guy in next year's class. I think it's a very interesting draft. You know, we've heard a lot of different stories recently. J.C. Horn could be jumping Patrick Surtain in the big boards. You know, we're nearing draft night. We're 9 days away now as we're recording this on April 20th, but, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to see where everybody goes. Even though we do know who the number one pick is at this point.
I think the biggest story that I've seen in the past few days is the fact that the Bengals are going to take Ja'Marr Chase at 5 if he's there, which he will be. I don't see there's any scenario where he's taken top 4. I think that's the biggest mistake that Cincinnati has made in a while. Penei Sewell is definitely going to be there, and I don't understand why you wouldn't take the best offensive lineman in the class if you have the opportunity to. I get that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow have chemistry, but, I mean, you've already had Joe Burrow tear his ACL in his first year because of that offensive line. What do you guys think about the possibility of that?
I personally think that they should not take Ja'Marr Chase. I haven't really been zeroed in on what the Bengals are going to do in the draft. I think they should take tackle. Signing Riley Reiff is not going to fix anything. But, you know, I think the Bengals should definitely go O-line. I've heard the Kyle Pitts rumor too. I'm guilty of it, but at this point I think it has to be O-line.
Yeah, definitely. Exactly what you guys said. And they're getting Jonah Williams back. I saw a thing talking about that today, actually, I think, about their potential of completely revamping that offensive line. If we're assuming that someone ended up playing guard, you got Riley Reiff, Jonah Williams, and Penei Sewell, 3 of your 5 offensive linemen being upgraded there. And, I mean, 2 big upgrades with Williams and Sewell. And so I definitely think that would be way better than adding, I mean, Pitts or Chase, that I think is a luxury that they're just not a good enough team to afford at this point.
Yeah.
And I think that we're forgetting the wide receiver core that Joe Burrow has right now. I mean, he has a top 10 running back in the league in Joe Mixon, but he also has one of the best rookie receivers from last year, T. Higgins, as well as a proven playmaker in Tyler Boyd. Ja'Marr Chase would be a luxury. That would move T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd to wide receiver 3, which isn't – I mean, he would be the best wide receiver 3 in the league, possibly. So I think the smart decision would go Penne. But, you know, Bengals might not make the smart decision.
Yeah, and people also forget that Auden Tate's on that team, and he's not really too shabby of a player. He can't really run routes, but, you know, he'll go up and get the ball. So that's kind of what Ja'Marr Chase's game is. He's a much better route runner than Auden Tate. I'm not saying he's a bad route runner, but, I think that it's like same play style. you know, just kind of the same deal. So they need to get a franchise left tackle like they had in Anthony Munoz back in the day. Once they get that guy, I think Joe Burrow is going to be a lot more comfortable back there, and I think he'll play a lot better in the process.
Definitely. One of the things I really wanted to get your opinion on, we kind of glanced over it, but we do have a Jets fan in the midst. I don't know. You might be the only Jets fan I know, to be honest.
I wouldn't be surprised, man.
and so we have to take the advantage of this, and I want to know what you think the Jets will do and what you think they should do.
Okay. So this is what I got. All right. It's kind of interesting. I think we should take Zach Wilson. I think he's the second best QB in the class. I Jonah, you have him number one, right?
I do.
Yeah. So y'all can ask him about that in a bit. But yeah, I think we should take Zach Wilson. But unfortunately, I think we're gonna take Justin Fields just because of the hype around him recently. I don't think Justin Fields is a bad player. I think he's very good, but I just think Zach Wilson has proven so much. And, you know, Justin Fields, you know, he only played six games this year, but he wasn't nearly as good as he was last year. I know people want to look at the Clemson game, but that Clemson defense was literally terrible. I don't really know what kind of player on that defense everybody was so scared of, but that defense was not as great as everybody thought. But in the end, I really do think we should take Zach Wilson. I think he's just a much better prospect. I think Fields should go number three to San Francisco, but I really don't think we should take him at two because I think Zach Wilson's proven to be a much better player.
It's surprising that you have.
What do you think you should do with the Seahawks pick?
Oh gosh, with that pick, it's tough because, I mean, if we're being honest, the Jets need everything except for nose tackle and left tackle. So, and I mean, we franchise tag Marcus May, so we don't need a strong safety, but we pretty much need everything else on the field, and we're shopping CJ Mosley. So it's like you really can take anything with that 23rd pick. And I know it sounds stupid, but I think taking a guy like Najee Harris, if he's there, would be good because the Jets haven't had that bell cow running back in forever. And I think that would help a ton. Plus, I mean, he's got Mekhi Becton. Our interior offensive line is bad, but I think we can also get that in like the second round with like Landon Dickerson or Wyatt Davis or Creed Humphrey, something like that. And then the defense, I think we could also take a corner. You know, maybe it's a guy like Greg Newsom or, you know, maybe even like Eric Stokes out of Georgia. But I think at 23, I think it either needs to be a playmaker on offense or a corner. I think it needs to be one of those things.
Since we're on quarterbacks in this year's draft, I want to know your guys' opinions about the 4, 5, 6 guys like Trey Lance, Mac Jones. What are your thoughts about those type of guys? Where do you think, how good do you think they are? Is the hype legit? What's your take on those guys?
So I have Trey Lance. I'm very high on Trey Lance. I think he's, and this is very like bold take, I think he's the second best quarterback in the class. Once we take potential into it, he has a cannon for an arm. He makes the right decisions for the most part. I mean, he had zero interceptions in the one full season that he played. And he's also extremely mobile. He might be the most mobile quarterback in the draft, top quarterback in the draft, at least. But for Mac Jones, I'm not a huge fan at all. I think if you watch the film, there's probably like 5 screen passes to Devonta Smith a game, or drag routes, or Devonta Smith is with 10 yards without a corner on him. So it's not like it takes an elite quarterback to make those throws. I think if you put any of the top four quarterbacks on the Alabama team, they scored like 60 points a game. So I'm not high on Mac Jones at all. I don't think he's a first-round pick. But I do think the rest of the guys are first-round pick worthy. But I do think only Wilson, Lawrence, and Lance are worthy of a top five pick.
Hunter, you can take your time here.
Okay. I think that when you look at, like you said, 4, 5, and 6, personally, I have Lance at 4th and Jones at 5th, and I think there's a significant drop-off after 5th. Obviously, there's guys like – I forget his name, the Stanford guy. Someone help me out.
Davis Mills.
Mockout actually has him ranked above Mac Jones, so take what you think of that. But Davis Mills, Kyle Trask, actually at 6, I have Kellen Mond. I think Kellen Mond is better than Kyle Trask and Davis Mills. I think Kellen Mond is very raw, but I see him being a Dak Prescott type of player. I think he has potential to be a starter. I don't know if he'll go before the second round, at least the middle to the end of the second round. But I think after Jones, you start getting into guys that are either going to be career backups or project guys that you're going to have to sit for at least 3 to 4 years. And actually, speaking of Mond, obviously, if anyone doesn't know, I'm a Houston Texans fan and whatever mess of a franchise we are right now. I actually have the Texans taking Kellen Mond in the first round if he's there and sitting him behind Tyrod Taylor for a year. Regardless of how that would look or work out, I think that that is the route that they're going to take because they're not trading Watson before the draft in 9 days. I don't see how that's possible. So I think they're going to need to get a quarterback, and I think that they're going to end up selecting Mond, but that's just me personally.
So my take on the 4, 5, 6 spot, like Hunter said, I also have Lance, Jones, and Mond. But I don't really know how I feel about Kellen Mond because he's kind of shaky with his decision making. Sometimes he forces throws when he really just doesn't have to. And you know, that's the one knock I really have on him. But I really just want everybody to understand. This is just my opinion, so nobody take this and like you know go use this out on the street or whatever. But there's Kyle Pitts is an amazing player, but there's a reason why there's another extra reason as to why Kyle Pitts is such an amazing player. It's because Kyle Trask was giving him such horrible passes. And I just want everyone to go back and watch Kyle Pitts have to make these sick one-handed grabs and like circus catches because Kyle Trask is throwing the ball 2 miles an hour, 10 yards away. And I really just want to understand why people think Kyle Trask is so amazing. The only reason I believe he was in the Heisman watch is because he had the weapons that he had. And people forget that he had Kadarius Toney on his offense too. And
Trayvon Grimes.
Yeah. Like the dude's offense was literally insane. And you're playing in the SEC East. Like you're playing against South Carolina, Missouri. The Georgia defense wasn't all that great. You're playing Kentucky, Vanderbilt, like you're playing cupcake defenses, and you have Kyle Pitts, I think he's the best weapon in this class. It was so easy for Kyle Trask, and I just don't see there being any competition for him going up against a guy like Kellen Mond, because I think without Kellen Mond, that Texas A&M team would have been really bad because their defense was not very good. So. I think Kellen Mond is astronomically better than Kyle Trask. I'm sorry, Kyle Trask, if you're for some reason really upset about my takes, and if you're somehow listening to this, which
he's a big time listener.
Yeah. That'd be crazy. That'd be awesome if you guys had Kyle Trask on here. That'd be awesome. I wish we had that, but yeah, I mean, dude, I'm sorry, but you're not going top four rounds. I just don't see it.
I actually completely agree with you guys. You scared me about halfway through that take. I thought you were about to say that Kyle Pitts was partially good because of Kyle Trask, not the other way around. But, yeah, I agree with you guys completely. Maybe – I think I'm even higher on Kellen Mond a little bit than you guys are. I have 4, 5, 6 is Trey Lance, Kellen Mond, then Mac Jones.
Yeah, I also have Mond ahead of Jones.
Yeah, I just not into Mac Jones. Exactly what was said, where he's like 57th in the league in depth of target. I mean, it's not good. I just don't see what people see in him. We talked about this a little bit last week on the podcast, actually. There's a Kirk Cousins comparison, and I don't understand it because Kirk Cousins can throw balls downfield, and I don't see any of that from Mac Jones. And so Kellen Mond, with the ceiling, he definitely has the tools. The decision making's a little shaky at times, but I think he has a chance to work that out. And I mean, I always love the guys that have just thrown tons of passes in college, because you know that they're not going to be afraid to come in and be thrown into the game. You know, the exact opposite of Trey Lance, basically. You know, Kellen Mond has thrown a ton of passes, and I like that a lot. Kyle Trask, there's nothing about it. I think the drop off is after the Mac Jones. I think after Mac Jones at 6, there's just nothing left in this quarterback class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to hear any more Davis Mills stuff on professional scouts pages. It just blows my mind, man.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't know who that guy was till Colton texted us in our group chat about him. So
yeah, I completely get it. He played like 6 games in his whole college career.
Didn't he lose who was he competing against? Not last year, but the year before they lost the job to
KJ Costello.
KJ Costello.
KJ Costello. Yeah.
He lost a battle to KJ Costello, guys.
That's all we need to know. That's the end of it. You put him in the 7th round as a flyer, I guess, but he ain't going first round. He ain't going second round. He ain't going day 2. I don't believe it.
Yeah, and I also just want to point out that people want to talk about KJ Costello's game against LSU when he was literally in an air raid offense.
Well, we talked a little bit about Ja'Marr Chase and as a wide receiver and also the weapon that Kyle Pitts is. What is your thoughts about this year's wide receiver class? Obviously we have Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, got some weapons in there, Rashad Bateman. What are your guys' thoughts about, I guess, the overall offensive weapons that this year's draft has?
Stacked. They're absolutely loaded.
I love it. I love it. Especially coming from a Dolphins fan, and we need the weapons. This couldn't have been a better draft. I mean, I would be fine if we got Pitts, Chase, Waddle, or Devonta Smith, and you don't get that many options in a typical draft. We've seen drafts where the first wide receiver goes at like pick 15, and then there's another one at like pick 30. And this draft is not the case at all. There's probably going to be 3 in the top 10 of weapons. There could be 4. And then Bateman's going to go mid first round too, possibly mid to late. So I think it's very stacked. You have possible Hall of Fame caliber, which I think is ridiculous when they haven't played a single down. But you have that in Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase. They can be absolute monsters. And then I think Jalen Waddle is 1A as a wide receiver. And so for him going at like pick 10 or so, that's still robbery for whoever gets him there, in my opinion.
I think when you look at this class, like Aiden and Jonah both said, I think that this is – it's probably the best wide receiver class we've seen in the past 10 years. You look at guys – I mean, obviously at the top, you've got Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, towards the middle of the first round, you've got guys like Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore, possibly even Kadarius Toney could end up being in the 20s. I don't really know. There's always a surprise. Somebody goes before. But towards the middle, I'm looking second, third, maybe even fourth round. You've got St. Brown there. You've got Terrence Marshall out of LSU. You've got Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. There are so many good receivers in this class that aren't really – you've even got Grimes from Florida. There's a lot of sleeper guys that are under the radar that are going to end up being really, really good. And I think that's just a testament to how deep this class is. There are probably 10 receivers in here that are going to be rookie of the year candidates in my mind. Aiden, what do you think?
So I think, yeah, like I said earlier, I think it's loaded. You know, there's Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman. I think those are probably my top four. But then, you know, after that, for me, it's like, you know, Kadarius Toney's a stud. You know, I'm really high on Elijah Moore. I'm also very high on Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan. I think he's a stud. People need to look out for him. He's a freak of nature. I'm not so high on Rondale Moore just because he doesn't really catch the football very well. And he's mainly just like a – I think he's mainly going to be like a kick returner in the NFL. But, you know, I think this receiver class is absolutely loaded. Terrace Marshall's a stud. I think people are criminally underrating him. Because, I mean, he just doesn't drop the ball. Like, he almost never drops the ball. It's ridiculous. And, yeah, you could say Joe Burrow put it right on the money for him last year. But even with TJ Finley and whoever the other LSU quarterback was this year, he just doesn't drop the football. So, just a lot of solid players that would be very good. Like, very, very good. And, like, top of the class in other classes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You even see guys like some of the guys you haven't even mentioned yet. I mean, it's crazy. Every single one of us has talked and mentioned another two or three guys, and we can still keep going. I mean, you guys didn't mention Amari Rodgers is a guy I really like a lot. If you go into the later rounds, I don't know how much you guys have watched of Austin Watkins. He's probably like my biggest sleeper in this class that I just love. Out of UAB, he's a junior college guy, can kind of do it all. Is maybe a day three guy, but I mean, it just loaded. It's insane. It's absolutely insane that we're going these last three wide receiver classes. The fact that we're still talking about this one after the two that we just watched, it just is a testament to how good this one is.
Yeah, we got DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin in the same wide receiver class, and we're saying this one might top it already. It's insane.
And here's the funny thing. None of those guys went in the first round. I mean, that's the crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Somebody went ahead of them, didn't they? Oh, Marquise Brown.
Oh, yep.
That's crazy. Yeah, Marquise
Brown. So that was the first receiver taken. Was in the, what was that, like pick 28 or something like that?
I think it was 25.
Yes.
I think it was 27. Crazy. Okay.
Interesting. It's crazy. Yeah. People really underestimate the value of wide receivers. I think we're going to see a wave of wide receivers going very high in the draft over the next few years.
Yeah.
Hey, so as the listeners know, David is the was the former draft guru owner. Or are you still is draft guru still up, David? I don't know.
Not for me though. Yeah.
I don't have the social media, so I don't know what's going on in the world. But obviously we have a lot of great brains here when it comes to the draft. You guys have extensive knowledge. Not just for rounds 1 through 3 or 1 through 4, but the whole all of the draft. So what are your guys' dark horse draft prospects that maybe no one has heard of or is just flying under the radar that could go in some of those later rounds who could make a huge difference to for an NFL team?
Well, for me, I think, I mean, a guy I've already talked about is Dwayne Eskridge out of Western Michigan. I think he's a top seven receiver in this class, and I know that's crazy to say, but you just got to go watch his tape and you'll understand. Like, he's an absolute stud. He really showed out at the Senior Bowl. You know, he's a great route runner. He's got great hands. He's got you know, pretty good speed. Dwayne Eskridge is a stud, and we've seen a Western Michigan receiver go pretty high in the draft before. But you know, he's a New York Jet now, but you know, that's not relevant. But yeah, that's probably my main guy. But you know, in terms of dark horse, it's not necessarily like dark horse, but like a guy that's been slept on, and I know Jonah likes this, is Javonte Williams.
I don't actually love it that much, not gonna lie.
Okay. Well, in our last episode, he said that. So he's
I watched a lot of film of Javonte Williams in the past like couple weeks, and I am probably one of the lowest people on him now.
Oh man, that's tough. Well, all right. Well, I guess Jonah just kind of ruined my take here, but
no, go ahead.
I think Javonte Williams is a very, very solid running back, and I think he is running back three. And I've heard people try to put Trey Sermon up there, and I just don't understand. But people aren't talking about Javonte Williams enough, and I sound really stupid now, actually. But it's actually okay. Hunter, who are your dark horses, man?
So for me, I have actually three that I think, for me at least, stand out. And I'm not going to say that they are true dark horses. Like, I think they'll be gone by the sixth round. But first, I have Trey Sermon, actually. I think Trey Sermon is going to be really, really good. From the limited tape we have on him, I think he was a stud at Ohio State for the few games that he played. And I think that because there's not a lot of games on his legs, I think he is going to be very fresh for the league. And I think with a good offensive line, he is just going to tear the league up. I actually also have the other Ohio State running back, Master Teague, in there. I think he is the best power back in the class. I think he's a guy you hand it to him on anywhere at the 5-yard line, and he's going to get in. I think he is a bulldozer of a back, and I think he's going to end up being really good for goal line situations. He's obviously – I'm not going to say he's a starting caliber, but I think if the team takes him, he is going to be beautiful for goal line situations. Seattle, you should probably look into taking him. And my last guy I have is Tyson Campbell out of Georgia. I think that he could potentially be the third or fourth best cornerback in the class when it's all said and done. Haven't had a lot of tape on him, haven't really gotten to watch him a lot, but from what I have seen, I've really liked him. And I think that if you take him anywhere in the third or fourth round, maybe even the second, I think he's going to end up starting for defense, and I think he's going to be really solid.
Yeah, I like that. And then since we're talking about running backs, I'm gonna say a couple guys that I really like. So I scouted a lot of the running backs in the past couple weeks, as I said, about Javonte Williams. And what I got from that is, first of all, I think Michael Carter is the better UNC running back.
I knew it was coming.
I love Michael Carter. I mean, his vision is just 10 times better than Javonte Williams, in my opinion. And I'm a huge vision guy for running backs. That's why J.K. Dobbins is so high. And then – for that same reason, I have Puka Williams and Kenneth Gainwell pretty high up there. I don't think they're top tier. I don't think they're Najee Harris or Michael Carter. But I do think Gainwell and Puka are very underrated. I think they could be number one guys if given the opportunity. But, I mean, they're both pretty small. But they're explosive. They have good vision. They're very good at breaking tackles. And then Trey Sermon, I also like, but he's too slow for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't want him as my running back one, unless you have like an actual 1-2 punch splitting 10 carries a game. Yeah. So that's what I think.
Yeah. So, I have two sleepers, I guess. I already mentioned a little bit of Austin Watkins from UAB. He's just – and I don't know exactly where he's going to go. I know I've heard some hype. He did very well at the Senior Bowl. And so I think he might end up being like one of those surprising early day three, fourth round type of guys instead of the late round guy. Mm-hmm. But he had like, I think he averaged like 19 yards a catch at UAB last season. Something insane. He has the big playability. But then what I like about him, he just has one of those complete games. Like he reminds me of a guy like a Gabe Davis last year. Mm-hmm. That just has a complete game. He can run routes really well. He's really smooth. He's like 6'1", if I remember right. Good hands. And then has that some of that speed to get deep. And so he's just a guy I like that can come in and provide some type of impact as a day three guy. And then my other one isn't quite the sleeper, and this is maybe a little bit of my Oregon bias coming in here. But Thomas Graham, the corner from Oregon. I don't think he's like some second round pick or anything like that. He wasn't in my top five defensive backs that we talked when we went over it. But he's a guy I like a lot. He has really good man coverage skills. He's an instinctual player. He has a nose for the football. He's tough. He's a guy that I think if he did have a little bit more of the athletic build, if he was 6'1" and was a little bit quicker, then I think he'd be a guy that would be in that early day one or early day two conversation. But I like him a lot. I like him a lot. So those are my two guys.
I've also got one more that I'm going to add in. I'm going to say Carlos Basham, edge rusher out of Wake Forest. It's not necessarily a dark horse guy. I just think he's very underrated. I have him as edge three on my board. Yeah, I know. But Carlos Basham is very solid, and I think he could easily go at the bottom of the first. But I don't know. That's one that I wanted to add in.
Interesting. Well, guys, last question here, and then we'll probably wrap it up for the night. Do you guys have a draft story that you are most excited about? Heading in to the 2021 NFL draft. Is there obviously draft night is a big deal for all these guys, and there's some cool stories. There's comeback stories. There's stories of people overcoming adversity. Do you guys have a favorite? Or it could just be, you know, you're just excited about Kyle Pitts because he's such an amazing player. What is your guys' most, or I guess what is your most excited draft story for this year?
Wow, that's a great question. I think personally, I'm not a UM fan, I'm a Gator fan, but the Jalen Phillips story is really good. I mean, he got multiple concussions, I want to say three. He broke, I think, his leg or his femur, something like that, in a huge car accident. People thought he might not play football again. He plays, he goes to UM, he transfers, and then he blows up in the year that Greg Rousseau is out, and he looked unreal. He bolted his way to a top first-round pick, probably top 15, probably top 20, actually. But it's crazy to think that someone who people didn't really hear of and also people thought wouldn't play football again is now a first-round pick consideration, so I really like that.
Hunter, you go ahead.
I think the story that I'm most excited for is the fact seeing the Packers take another quarterback in the first round.
Oh my gosh. Get the heck out.
But
of
actually,
here.
To be honest, what I would say would be the coolest part, we have three cornerbacks that are second generation NFL talent. And I think that's going to be really cool to see Patrick Surtain's son, Asante Samuel's son, and obviously Horn also. I'm really excited to see how those three guys play out just because I don't remember a time where the son was actually worse than the father. So I'm kind of curious to see. Obviously, you look at the Manning twins. Both of them, I think, had a better career than Archie probably by far. I'm interested to see how those three guys end up in comparison to their fathers. Obviously, Patrick Surtain has huge shoes to fill. Same with Asante Samuel. And obviously, Horn isn't the same position as his dad. But I'm curious to see how those three guys play out as far as how their careers go, because it's rare that we see three guys in the same class that have Hall of Fame family ties.
Yeah, that's true.
I like that. Personally, I think mine's going to be nobody's going to like mine, but who cares? I think it's really cool that Mac Jones is where he is. And I know people have their opinions on him. People, you know, a lot of people don't think he's that good, you know, whatever. And, you know, I was just saying that I think it's ridiculous that he would go top three, because it is. But the fact that he's even in the first round, even the first two rounds, is crazy. Because going into this year, everybody was so down on Alabama because, oh, gosh, their quarterback situation's terrible. They're going to have a freshman in Bryce Young starting. And then it's like, oh, nah, we'll put Mac Jones out there. And then it's like, ah, man, Nick Saban, get a load of this guy. What is he doing? And then Mac Jones, who didn't really look that great last year in his little amount of playing time after Tua got hurt, he balled out this year. Like, he really did. And I know it's easy to ball out with weapons like that, but, I mean, he really put his name out there. Because, you know, he was originally a Kentucky commit, and then he went to Alabama, sat behind Jalen Hurts and Tua, and then was in Heisman consideration this year. I think it's kind of crazy that he went there and he is the player that he is now. You know, just trusting the Alabama process that he would be the guy eventually. And it worked out for him. I mean, imagine if he went to Kentucky, he wouldn't be where he is now. So, you know, I think it's going to be very interesting to see where Mac Jones goes. I think if he goes to New England, I think it's going to be unfair. I think New England's going to coach him up.
No, I would love that.
I know you would love that. I personally, as a Jets fan, wouldn't like it. But, you know. Man, Jonah, you're out here slamming my takes, man. You know, Javonte Williams, now Mac Jones. Come on, man. What if they're on the same team? That'd be funny. But the Patriots. The Patriots need another running back, right?
They need more.
I think Mac Jones will be really cool. Hopefully he goes to, like, you know, Denver or something. I think that'd be fun. Maybe he's the next Elway. No, I'm kidding. Nobody can be Elway. Nobody can be Elway. I mean, come on. Don't quote me on that, guys.
That's the title of the podcast.
That is the title. Aiden thinks Mac Jones is the next John Elway. Like,
all caps.
Mac Jones equals Patrick Mahomes? What? Nah. I'm not saying all that. I honestly like the Kirk Cousins comparison, but that's beside the point. But, yep, that's what I got for you.
I don't know what that little dig was. You got tired of hating on, so you had to go back and hate on me from early in the show and going at that Kirk Cousins comparison. But
oh, man, hey, I liked it. I think it's a great one. I think
yeah, he didn't like it.
Brought it up just shows how great it was.
Okay. the storyline I'm looking forward to the most is, you know, I like how you guys all went through and, like, did general storylines. You're good guys that aren't just selfish about your teams. But my storyline is just, please, Packers, get one of these receivers. I just hope, you know, we're sitting there at 29, and all of a sudden we get, you know, maybe a Rashad Bateman would be the dream. Terrence Marshall, I'd be happy with. Tony, I'd be happy with. After that, we'd probably have to wait till the second round for me to be happy. But, I mean, with my luck, we're going to end up getting Rondell Moore, who I also don't like. But I just hope they get somebody. I hope we get a receiver. I've been waiting for 3 years during these great wide receiver drafts. I was all in on DK Metcalf. Never happened. I was all in last year on the – well, this is great. Oh, Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk to Green Bay was what I was hoping for. Nope, didn't happen. And now in the third year of this great 3 years of wide receivers. Please, Green Bay Packers, get a wide receiver. I just have to see it. I hope.
How would you feel about Amon-Ra St. Brown?
No.
Do you have any idea the connection there?
That guy's awful.
I'm mixed on it. I don't think he's as awful as you do. But
I think he's terrible.
After getting his brother hanging out in Green Bay for a few years, I'm not a big fan, especially because I think it's time for his brother to get out of town. If his brother had a good season, then you know maybe we get some brotherly love in there. But you know, we're gonna bring him in, and then we're gonna cut his brother, and I don't think it's gonna end up all awkward. Good, so
then it'll be a competition of who's not. Worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, your kids' names are Equinemius and Amon-Ra, so I don't know. I love it. But, yeah, I mean, I think with the 29th pick, the Green Bay Packers select Davis Mills.
No.
But, I mean, I heard that they're trying to trade up to 15. But
dude, I saw that today. And if we trade Jordan Love to the flipping Patriots for up to 15, I will – I don't even know what I'll do. You won't see me anymore on this podcast. You won't hear me. You won't see Instagram posts. You won't get texts because I'm going to go into a dark, dark basement. And I'm just going to hang out until I don't know when. Like, I don't know. I don't know what. Like, and it's funny because a lot of Packer fans are for getting rid of Jordan Love. But to me, as much as I didn't love the Jordan Love pick, the only thing worse than getting Jordan Love is getting Jordan Love over a guy that could have helped us win the Super Bowl last year just to trade him a year later. Like, come on. I hope that's not real. David, I hope that's not real.
If you do that, that's bad news for the podcast because we have Colton who goes up to the mountains and doesn't come on this thing when he's supposed to, and then you would go to the basement and not show up. And then there's me who just asks the questions, and that's no fun. So,
hey, we're welcome to come back if he leaves for an extended period of time.
This will be adopted to the – Let's Get Ready to Good Evening podcast. It'll be a good mixture of everyone except for me.
Well, awesome, guys. Well, it's been a fun night. It's been a genuine pleasure to have you guys on our podcast. We, as a podcast, appreciate your guys' knowledge and your opinions, and super appreciate it. Before we go, do you guys want to give out some of your social media information? Where can our listeners go find you on YouTube? Where can they find you on podcasts? Could you guys drop that for our listeners?
Sure, yeah. So on YouTube, it's AHJ Productions, but we have a Good Evening Football podcast and a Good Evening Basketball podcast, and that's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anything you can listen to podcasts on. And we also have a TikTok at AHJ Productions with over 5,500 followers. So go check that out, as well as our Instagram, which is also AHJ Productions.
Well, awesome, guys. It's been a real pleasure. We usually end this thing by me asking a question. It's usually to Colton if we can end it, but he's not here, obviously. So, David, is it time to end this thing?
Yeah, just end it. Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.